Catholic-run orphanages that guys like Kevin and Nat have been trying to expose for years. But like always, the toothpaste seems to get stuffed right back in the tube and accountability becomes a pipe dream. However, with the exposure of John Podesta's emails and the revelations about spirit cooking being called Pizzagate, it looks like the best chance yet at exposing and breaking this long-standing cycle of power and abuse. And one of the brave journalists digging deep and shouting from the rooftops about this is returning guest David Seaman. David has been one of the most prominent voices in this area, amassing over 100,000 subscribers on his YouTube channel as he's made this scandal his focus, and it's a real pleasure to have him here to walk us through this tangled web of dark connections. David, my man, welcome back to the Higher Side.
Thanks for having me back on, Greg, and congratulations on all of your show's growth over the last couple of years.
Thanks, man. Yeah, you too. You seem to be doing all right yourself. I am so glad you were able to make some time for me. It's been a couple years since we talked, and you are in quite high demand right now. I was hoping with this, you know, we could really walk the listeners through what we know about spirit cooking, Pizzagate, who's involved in these scandals, and all that good stuff. But maybe we should walk it back a bit. Because I think a major bullet point in your story here is getting fired from Huffington Post for covering Hillary Clinton's health issues during the campaign.
By either state or federal law enforcement. Sorry. And you probably agree with me there. I mean, we're talking about a level of weirdness that is up there. You mentioned Jeffrey Dahmer. I mean, that's an interesting one to mention.
From that level.
That also involves cannibalism and fetishization of torture.
Oh, normal.
Absolutely. And
I'm sorry, normalcy. It's normal.
So there's also another picture that is drawing the attention of a lot of the people who are investigating this stuff. It's John Podesta standing there holding up his two palms with the number 12, I believe, on one hand and a fish on the other.
That's 14.
Have you been able to decode that at all or 12. Heard anybody getting to the 14. Really the crux of what that's about?
I believe it's the number 14. Some 14. People have said that it means fishing for teens. I personally don't know what the meaning is, and I haven't focused any of my investigation on that image because it just is weird. I've tried to focus on the hard data points, like him using in his emails terms that we know refer to child trafficking or refer to certain kinds of children that are trafficked. And when I say we know, that's the best possible explanation at this point. You know, we're dealing in areas of uncertainty, but at a certain point,
I'll
when
you
rule
my,
out that somebody is using code words to discuss drug use or to discuss national security issues, and when there's already an existing sub-community of people around the world who use these terms to describe very specific things, you have to begin to say, okay, we have to give weighting to the possibility that these emails are really talking about child trafficking and are really talking about the torture and abuse of young children, in part in service of some kind of ritual abuse cult.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Okay. There right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. There was a interview by the Higher Side Chats interviewing David Seaman 2 weeks ago. David Seaman's the guy that's kind of been on point with this. At least he hasn't let it get buried. I'm disgusted with this country. I am disgusted with people. Once again, ruining my Christmas, but I don't who cares. Disneyland. Christmas to me is just Disneyland now. Because of all the Disney characters that people put up in their lights. And I know when you're kids like the lights and everything. And when I was a kid, I liked all the lights. Anyway, bottom line is, that's one of the buried stories of 2016. And that's why I wanted to revisit it, even though that's too... You can't find a video that's more... I guess there is one that's a few days old, but most of them are a month old. Okay, most of the radio shows and podcasts about this are about a month old. And I'm mentioning it because it's one of the highlighted stories. I mean, you saw a classic case of this piece of you-know-what Obama sitting there going, that's pretty typical banter in emails. With a straight face. With a straight face. With a straight face. With a straight face. With a straight face! Just let that sink in for a minute. No. You do not allow that in your society. You know, laughing about... Is it funny? The subject of child trafficking and torture, abuse, and murder. Is that funny? Is that really funny? Or cannibalism and sexual abuse, et cetera, et cetera. Is that funny? It's just fake news. I saw no less than 100 articles... When you Google Pizzagate now, you have 100 articles, you know, USA Today, New York Times, and you can't find any of this stuff on it. It's all, oh, this was just these unhinged people on the internet. You believe that? So where are we? Once again, we're in hell. I mean, what do you think it is? You think this is heaven? You think this is like Earth, like Disneyland Earth or Matrix Earth? No. What? Okay, let's just put it another way. What world is where the majority tortures and ritually kills children or knows about it and covers it up? No, that's not really Earth. I'm going to have long pauses here because something's wrong with us. We seem to be fine in our celebrations while this is going on. We seem to be fine with Christmas with this going on. Most people know there's something to it, but they don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to. International trafficking. Millions of children. All dead. Cannibalism and ritual abuse, which has now been tied. The banning of the witch queen, because what did it do? It tied in drinking blood and cannibalism to the typical Disney-esque witch queen of Cartoon Land, which is where we live. We live in Cartoon Land. I'm telling you, I'm walking around these RVs, they have these cartoons going. Cartoon consciousness. It's totally pornographic. To me, the Disney characters blown up with lights around them is pornographic. I would never expose my child to that if I, you know, I unfortunately looked the other way back then, I suppose, because I was stupid. Knowing what I know now, no. But fortunately, This is not year one of the Obama administration. And I do have some, you know, predictive words for you today. And we'll just see how accurate that is. Number one, a lot of this stuff will be dealt with behind the scenes where the news media won't have anything to do with it. Call it street justice, if you will. Not all of it, because you're dealing with millions and millions of people. Not all of it, because you're dealing with, you're dealing with organized society. You're dealing with Western civilization. So, to me, it's not really a world, you know. If it is, it's a joke world at best. I don't take it seriously anymore. This is this thing I was working on about, you know, things are going to be changing. And they're changing radically, and that's the good news. And so I start negative, but I'm, you know, telling you there's some good news. You know, you can't let it get buried. Because what would that say about you? Or what would that say about me? If you know something's very wrong and you let it get buried, what does that say about how much you love your children? That says you hate your children. So we can't, right? We can't allow ourselves to just let stuff get buried because Obama wants to play golf. I'm sorry, but it's just disgusting, all this.
I'm no longer a fool around here. It's gonna be different. 4, 3, 2, 1, go. Celebrity. Oh, are you having celebrity? Oh, are
Well, that's the vibe, you know. I mean, that's how I feel. That's, you know, just an assault on your speakers and probably assault on your head. I'm sorry, but I mean, that's just the level, you know. And no, that's raw like that, and you know, can't hear the words at times. That's exactly right. That's exactly just a wall of just noise, you know. And that's kind of how I. That's what came out, you know. That's what got. That's the beautiful thing of what got written on the road. There you go. That's what got written on the road because things are so great. And that's why that got written on the road because things are so great. So anyway, the story is buried. The other stories that are buried are, for example, the exposure of Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama to ISIS. Finally confirming that we had command and control involved. We've had confirmations to what people thought. I know that InfoWars at the very beginning was saying something like there was no command and control, and I was saying there was, so we had a difference, and now they agree for what I've been saying the whole time, which is basically that we have had command and control. And how did I find out? Because I got the footage of the sound stages. Because I got the footage ahead of time of where the $500 million went to a advertising firm in the UK that was revealed in 2016, another buried story, that basically went to doing all those beheading videos and those, you know, that they called promotional videos, having people be beheaded and drowned and burned and all that. I told you those were all setups. Those were all production, film production. None of it was, and remember I used to freak out. I was like, can you imagine, hey Joe, you know, that take got blown. Can you get another guy to cut his head off, please? You know what I mean? And I was freaked out. And nobody cared. This, you know what, if I want to get really narcissistic or really myopic, I could say that this entire world exists to just upset me. Now, I know you saw it too, but it's, you know what I mean? I feel like I'm the only one at times. That actually sees what's going on and or feels it or gets bummed out about it. I mean, you know, people seem to go on with their lives. Now, here's the thing that's so bizarre. All this came out in the news about the $500 million the Pentagon spent on the PR firm in the UK to develop ISIS promotional videos, i.e., you know, the Jihadi Johnny stuff. You know, you saw some of the production. And behind the scenes of how they do video compositing. Also costuming. We have pretty elaborate costuming that could only come out of Hollywood. We also have props like the cages that you put the guys in to drown them. They had to be made. Someone has to cook up this stuff. Probably horror writers involved. You know, one big elaborate wag the dog session with real people dying and Obama playing golf. Golf. Pretty typical banter, he said in the emails. Golf. So, ISIS got exposed as being Obama's baby, and what we said all along, Hillary Clinton was involved in destroying the whole Middle East and Benghazi and everything else, so everything pinned on her, emails, WikiLeaks, etc. And then Pizzagate, the Podesta stuff, very serious matter. Involving Jeffrey Epstein, Pedophile Island, all the people involved, including many celebrities, the people from both sides of the aisle in terms of politics, you know, just on and on and on. And none of it actually matters. So I'm like, well, I guess maybe what you have to do is really love killing your children And then you get in the club, right? I mean, is that do we make that conclusion? Are we really like having these fake wars where lots of innocent people get killed, but it doesn't matter because we're playing golf and we're going to a Britney Spears concert or whatever? I mean, is that right? Is that it? We're having a great time. Everybody happy. Having a wonderful New Year's. Wish you were here. I just pinched me. I'm just having so much fun. I guess some of us are just, you know. Well, I'm not forgetting it, okay? I'm not going to forget this stuff. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm going to be optimistic and I'm going to wait and see if there is a... No, I don't expect there'll be any requests to have a download of that song. I call it DEP, D-E-P. And let's play the opening again. It's not bad. It's just...
I'm no longer fooling around here. It's gonna be different. It's gonna be different.
The whole point of that was to take on a live, you know, like a live feeling. And I'm really happy with the drums. I'm happy with the really messed up bass and kind of affected guitar thing. And yeah, I'm quite happy with it. I know it's offensive, and I know it's, you know, it's loud and noisy, and I just you know, that's how I feel. You know, I don't feel like finesse right now. I will release it because I know it will be, you know, there'll be people not liking it. So therefore, I want to release it. It's kind of like, you know, if now that the Witch Queen is banned, I want to re-release that again, maybe as a video or something. Maybe I'll have a video contest where I have, you know, the winner gets maybe a monetary prize of some kind. I don't have the kind of money that Alex Jones has, but I mean, you know, maybe they get, I don't know, what's a video worth, Trish?
I don't know.
Well, the only reason I say that is because, yeah, I don't think I'll do that because that's not fair. I'll just say if you feel like volunteering a video to it, by all means, I'll promote it. Here's the thing about video, though, about that song. It got banned. It did offend people. So I consider that a success. You know, that's my goal, is to offend people and get banned. You know, and so, you know, that's hard to do. I mean, I've done song after song after song, and we've talked about, you know, the Queen of Babylon, and we've talked about, you know, DEFCON 3, and, you know, another big story of 2016. We were at DEFCON 3, first time since the Cuban Missile Crisis. Nobody bats an eye. No, if you want to torture me, just put me into a place like this where no matter what happens, nobody bats an eye. Now I'm in one of the most commercial places of all time. The Trump effect. Unbelievable. The stores, the restaurants around Southern California are absolutely... I've never seen anything as busy as I've seen them now. So there is this optimism in the country of people that you know, don't think there's anything to see anywhere. And they're completely busy again, and I can just see God's wrath smacking everybody down if people don't at least try to have some compassion for other human beings. At least try to say that, you know, we'll celebrate when we get some of this stuff straightened out. Try to act at least like they care about something. But anyway, the consumers are consuming at a rate it's literally unprecedented. I mean, it's a complete economic turnaround. I'm calling it right now a complete success before Trump even walks in the office. And that's what I wanted. I wanted economic success because there's a chance for people to step out and do things, you know, and have some modicum of freedom. But no, we have a bunch of complainers. We have fights across America in malls where people are fighting each other right and left. And you know, causing the malls to shut down and everything else.
A lot of people are saying those are staged.
Yeah, there's Soros stage. I understand that. I think I said that earlier. But look, the point I'm trying to make is they want to stop the prosperity and the buying in the malls. They want to stop people. Now, over here, we have the biggest mall in the world, one of them, right? Very upscale stuff here. And where we are right now, which is not San Diego, but more north of there. And it's just completely jammed. Restaurants, they wait outside at 3 in the afternoon. It's unbelievable. So
all the open patio ones are just teeming with people.
Right. So, but the whole idea is they want to ruin it. I told you the whole point of the left was to destroy, I guess to have legalized pedophilia, to destroy economic recovery, and to completely, utterly, and totally destroy any hope for the future. And that's the hope of all celebrities. That's what they want. That's why I mentioned them in my song. You know, because they want to be rich while everybody else is poor worshiping them. Which to me would be okay, so I would turn away from people like that. Anyway, so, you know, the Democrats are all ready to battle Trump, and they're all angry that there's been prosperity. They're all completely sick to their stomachs, and they vow to stop it. Right now, I can see the headline right now on the television. They're vowing to stop all this prosperity and stop any kind of hope and stop any... They vow to stop Trump's success with the economy and probably law enforcement as well. So... That's good. They vow, and then we have 60 million people that want to vote for Democrats who vow to end their prosperity. Isn't that something? There's another bullet point of torture that I have to go through. I have to watch people vowing to end any kind of economic progress and growth, and then I have 60 million people that want to vote for no growth and no progress. I have all the celebrities voting left because they want to stop any kind of economic progress for little people because they're rich. There is no other explanation. I figured it out the other day, and I came to the accurate conclusion, which, by the way, now that I've come to that conclusion, it will never change no matter what anyone says to me, because I know what I know what I know, and I arrived at that over 20, 30 years. I used to say this to myself. They couldn't possibly want... They like their houses and their cars and things. They don't want to have North Korea here. They don't want to have Venezuela. They couldn't possibly be serious. And the answer is, yes, they are damned serious. They want the other guy to not have, so it can seem like they have more. And I met people like this. I've grown up with people like this. They've been all around me, and I refuse to look at the truth. All my life, I was in denial. This is how they really are. And so I look around here where I am now, and there's a lot of people who would, who vow to stop any kind of growth or progress, real progress, which would be economic growth that would include people rather than exclude. And they vow to stop it. I mean, one of the few bright spots in the world is the economy under a person that, you know, deals with economy. And they vow to stop every program that he has and everything that he's doing to make sure that that economy doesn't go forward, including paying people to cause fights in malls. George Soros is at it again, bussing them in. He's bussing them in to wreak havoc and, you know, handing the bullets over, you know, completely autonomous. Nobody bothers Soros. And yet there he is. Shipping people in to attack people in malls, so the malls have to shut down, so they are not able to participate in the economic recovery that would be this Christmas season as opposed to other Christmas seasons. They want to stop the store owners and the merchants from being able to get out of the red and into the black, and they want to implement this nationwide. To make sure, along with Congress and the Senate, to make sure, and along with Obama living next to Tony Podesta, they're good friends, so they can continue this program to stop any kind of progress, happiness, prosperity, whatever. As Obama delivered the speech to the Africans, we don't want you to have, you know, as he steps off a gas-guzzling airplane, we don't want you to have any kind of washers or dryers or... you know, air conditioners or houses or anything other than a mud hut, because you might hurt the earth, as he takes off in Air Force One. Okay, this is the kind of thing that I have to endure on a daily basis, a daily assault of this sort of stuff. And, you know, I would like to have a club soda at the end of the day, you know what I mean, rather than a beer or a margarita or a martini or some kind of poison concoction that will, you know, take the edge off. Now, I am able to wait till the end of the day, of course, that's good. But it would be nice to just have a club soda and watch a movie or something, take a walk, do something productive at night. But unfortunately, because I'm in a very abusive situation, after a all day of taking abuse, and avoidance doesn't work. I go off and look at something, look at the sky or something, doesn't work, because I know I don't need the news feed to give me to hear what's going on, to feel it. And I can tell you that they are intent on protecting their pedophilia, protecting their child trafficking, protecting this no economy except for the wealthy and the elite entertainers and celebrities that you all worship, or you don't, but I mean, you know, out there they do. They had a big thing on Britney Spears is dead, and that's the big story today. And they're all saying, I assure you she's not dead. Meanwhile, it's a promo for Britney Spears. How long must we endure these airhead artists? How long do we have to put up with this? And the answer is forever. You know, they have a monopoly on stupidity. And you can't, you know, it really comes down to the only way you can join the club is you have to be stupid. As like Obama has 102 IQ. I believe it. I mean, that's, you know, the rumor. I believe it. I think a lot of what he says, I think he believes that all the nefarious criminality is just fine. He's not worried about anything. He's playing golf, and I just think he's atrophied because he's had it so easy all his life. There's never been a struggle with him. He's been a CIA baby and all that. I don't know, I guess what's happened here is that I came to the wrong place, you know, a place that doesn't exist. And I'm here in a non-existent space, so I must obviously be dead. And this is like the Jacob's Ladder. And I'm fighting it. I need to go admit I'm dead and just go ahead and give up. I have to just admit I'm dead and go ahead and go with the angels off to heaven, right? Or go off to, right? There's something like that going on. I don't know if it's exactly that, but something like that's going on. I'm in a land where the dead are preying upon the living. You know, everywhere I look and everywhere I go, cha-cha-cha, they're preying upon the living. If they would stop for just a couple hours, I could have a little bit of relief, but they're not going to stop because they're protected by the rule of the real law, the law that supersedes our laws, which doesn't exist, they tell me. They just say I'm crazy or I think too much. Anyway, Trump hasn't gotten there yet, and Obama's tweeting out that he could have won the election had he run. And you have to remember, if the accurate votes were counted on Trump, it would have been the biggest landslide in the history of all elections ever held in the history of the entire world put together, period. You know, that they cheated and they over-cheated. And even with the over-cheating, they didn't get it. People are absolutely hateful of the media, and I hope they do. You know, again, the Pizzagate thing was just an example of a buried story. 100 articles, you know, USA Today and stuff like that, you know, CIA rags, all in front of and blocking anyone who's doing anything with video or anything with, you know, podcasts or whatever on Pizzagate, completely buried. You ask most people today, they say it was a hoax and involving these unhinged conspiracy theorists on the internet that just misread the information and accused this guy of running a child trafficking ring out of a pizza parlor. And America has accepted it. It's only a few people that are even talking about it. Even everybody has let it go. The truth community has buried it. Everyone has buried it. Nobody wants to deal with it. So my heart bleeds. Bleeding heart. Because you cannot have a world like this, folks. It will be destroyed. You can have all the prosperity you want, but without having this be addressed, there will be no future for anyone. Which is, I guess, what humanity's goal is. And it's a worthy goal, having no life. You know, it's a worthy goal, having nothing but pain and torture. It's a worthy goal. But for the people that want to self-inflict these kinds of things on themselves, you know, dispossession of all material goods, I suppose, the rule of mob, not a rule of law, criminality accepted, right? Got to pass all the pedophile laws and all the human trafficking, having all that be normalized, right? Satanic ritual, which involves murder, of course, because satanic ritual involves human sacrifice. Everyone knows that, right? So, not just tolerated, but promoted in public places with placeholders already. The Baphomet statue with the pedophile children looking up lovingly at Baphomet, the abuser, who's probably going to kill them. But, of course, that symbolism goes unnoticed, and those statues are going up everywhere where I suppose are future sites of satanic ritual, like in Stephen King's movie, The Stand. And what was Satan doing in The Stand in Las Vegas? Having a human sacrifice ritual, of course. This case was a dismemberment. Most people don't remember that in the movie The Stand. But it was perfectly legal, and everyone was looking forward to it. Anyway, so prediction. I do predict that some of this stuff gets cleaned up a little bit, but it won't be in the public eye. That's numero uno. No public eye, just surprise street justice here and there. And that's all you can hope for. There will be no systemic change. None. Zero, zilch, and nada. I do believe that the legalization of pedophilia will be held off for some time, but just... It's only a respite, Donald Trump and all that. It's just a respite. By no means is it the end. These people are intent on, now they have a big problem, which is destroying the economy. They are absolutely going, lining up to make sure, especially, say, in a place like California, that, you know, there is no economy here. Used to be California was the sixth largest economy in the world. And could have actually been its own nation state. Not so anymore. I mean, if you take Silicon Valley, exports most of its stuff to China. So it's a, it's really sad. California used to feed the rest of the nation. Did you know that? Pretty much. California and Florida, but more California, would feed the entire nation and nations. That was stopped because, you know, they have a policy with mainly the left. It's nobody on the other side. But they have a policy of to make sure they shut down the farms and shut down any kind of ability to grow food, especially if it's economic, to feed people because they have, you know, they have another plan, which is GMO foods to stop any kind of organic farming or whatever. So to stop prosperity, but there's 60 million people that vote for this side of things. Or for Republicans that will implement those same policies. You know, the Obama had signed into law the Monsanto Protection Act to protect Monsanto from lawsuits and from exposure for their GMO poison that they're putting on people. Obama signed. And he says he has evidence that he could have won in another election. Now, who are these people that would be voting for the death of their children through poisoning, genetic poisoning? Because when you tamper with the genome of things and you consume those things, they're abominations. So you're going to be, you know, getting disease. Now, a child could certainly understand that kind of law. Even, you know, the people understand that kind of logic, right? You want the most pure, fine thing that God made, you know, right from... I'm not saying that you can't have husbandry of plants and, you know, taking care of them and seeds, and sometimes people combine, you know, species in a normal way, you know, and get other kinds of fruit, say, for example, the grapefruit. But like that melon you had. The melon I had, yeah, but that was not genetic, you know, gene splicing and all that stuff. So I'm just, now the gene splicing is another evil thing that God will stop. The killing of the children, I think the Lord sees it the same as the killing of the prophets. I believe God will stop it if he has to destroy the entire world with a comet or blowing the world up completely. Just if human beings need to be eradicated because we have to look at Obama every day, can you imagine a person, any entity that would behave the way he's behaved in this last few days, who would actually say that he feels he's done a great job, who would say that even though he was implicated in these emails, that he'd say nothing but pretty normal banter.
Nothing out of the ordinary.
Nothing out of the ordinary, he said. Can you imagine having to be subjected to that through your media, or through your device? Can you imagine the trauma that would happen to a person if they had to see the track record and then listen to Obama speak, how traumatized that would make a human being? That would cause them to be dysfunctional in life, not able to carry on with their job, or their, you know, they would have obviously PTSD. It would be such abuse that I'm not sure a person could recover from it. No one that I know could handle having someone do one thing and say another to that extreme degree. And really survive as a human being. I mean, survive as a damaged and broken and fractured human being, yes. But other than that, that would be the only reaction that you could have if your mother abuses you every day and says, you know, the black is white and white is black and this and that, and you have to agree with me or I'll hit you in the face, or I'll hit you with a baseball bat or something, that would be about the equivalent of what's happening to people with Obama and or Hillary and or any of them that make a living out of lying. The abuse would be so severe that a person would be unable to function in society. It functions, like I say, with their employment, with their families. They would lose the ability to actually cope and be able to, you know, plot any kind of course for themselves or their children and their families, because they wouldn't know which way to go. They wouldn't know what was good or what was bad. They wouldn't know what was true, what was not. They would be utterly, totally destroyed as human beings if they had to listen to that, which they do. So am I to take it that we have a nation of completely destroyed people who are destroyed and useless and good for nothing? And unless and until that trauma that's been inflicted by the news media and by the political parties and others, until that trauma is lifted or addressed, there'll be no psychological healing, because it's the psyche that is damaged. That means you'd have a nation of mentally ill people from being subjected to the abuse of cognitive dissonance on steroids and lying, especially, and calling good bad and bad good, and you know, all those kinds of things that people do. Can you imagine how the children must feel growing up with that kind of double standard of all people, their teachers, everybody? Meanwhile, while being pushed into being sexualized, so they can then become basically prostitutes to work their way up in the social ladder. Can you imagine, you know, destroying millions and millions and hundreds of millions of people in the name of progress and peace, and then acting like you didn't do anything, and what message that sends to the children? Can you imagine how awful it would be to be a child of, say, 13 or 14 years old, watching what their parents do and their significant others, like the president and others, knowing about all the lies and knowing what's true and what's not, Can you imagine the trauma of being that age and being subjected to what the adults do and how that would make you feel and how that could possibly turn a person into an antisocial being, one that may not make it too long before being killed or imprisoned forever because of seeing the truth and because of being traumatized by what their significant other leaders, the pillars of our society, by the example that they set, destroyed that child. If the child knew what was going on. And I guess that's the big question. Do they know what's going on? I say yes. At that age, I knew what was going on. So my daughter knew what was going on, right? You know, do we have a lot to be grateful for when our when we're dead? I mean, when we've been destroyed? It's another question. Would we like in 2017 to, instead of being a destroyed populace, wouldn't we like to make some progress toward healing? Would we like to make some progress toward being a better human being, being more aligned with God, being more aligned with truth? Would we like to set a better example for our children? You see, when we don't tell the children what happened and they just take the lie straight on, they say later, "Mother, Father, why didn't you tell me the truth when you knew it? Why didn't you tell me what these awful people are up to, that they're not leaders for us to have an example to follow? Why didn't you tell me that all the war was fake? Why didn't you tell me about all the trafficking and all that? Why didn't you tell me the truth, Mother? Why?" "Because I didn't want you to grow up and be some sort of rebel. I wanted you to be able to make a living, and I didn't want to see you thrown in jail, and I didn't want to see you being antisocial. I wanted to see you assimilate." You mean to murder and abuse and Satanism and lying and cheating and atrocities beyond any kind of tribunal for war crimes? Yeah, because if you, you know, get with the right people, you know, you're immune from all that. You can go destroy other people and destroy countries and stuff and live out a happy life. So that's why you didn't tell me. Exactly. I don't, you know, why should you have to know any of that? All you need to do is be successful. And no, you think I'm being, no, I'm not being facetious. I'm kind of making an example there, but that is exactly what it was like for us as kids. And many of us did become dysfunctional and weren't able to contribute to society in any way. We couldn't figure it out. We couldn't get with it. We couldn't assimilate. We couldn't drink the Kool-Aid. We could not become hypnotized. We could not become part of the system because we couldn't understand the duality of it. We couldn't, you know, kind of make it work because we couldn't say yes is yes and no is no. We couldn't say yes is no and no is yes. We couldn't blend the light and the dark because we were taught that right is right and wrong is wrong, or good is good and bad is bad, and we couldn't blend them. And so we were cast out. Could not play that game because of the damage psychologically that would happen as a result of that. When you see leaders saying with a straight face, pretty typical emails, that's an extreme mental illness, right? And so you wouldn't want your president to be mentally ill. I mean, you know, it's a deep, these are horrible, horrifying things to think about. So as we're saying Merry Christmas or Happy New Year, I think we have to, you know, temper it with, you know, I just say, really? There's really going to be a Happy New Year? How about this one? I'm going to have faith that there's going to be a new year and that people, you know, may have a chance to be good people. I'm hoping they are. But the society that chooses Disney characters for Christmas and says nothing about what's going on to their children, and then they have their children and grandchildren around playing with all the lights and the toys, and nobody says anything about anything, you know, at the dinner table or anywhere. Because nobody wants their child to be the rebel or the black sheep or the problem child. So they figure that by concealing the truth, they'll have a better chance at success. Which then in turn guarantees failure for the entire world. And, okay, so maybe I'm just this lone voice out here, but I just think we ought to stop that. If someone is lying on television and they happen to be the president, I think it should be pointed out to little kids, hey, that, you know, this person is not telling the truth, and they don't tell the truth, most of them, anyway. Your newspapers and your media are lying also. Your teachers are also lying to you as well. In fact, the adults are setting such a horrible example for you. You kids need to almost set up your own code of ethics and your own code of honor because the adults have failed you. You have no role models. And, you know, I hate to be just the party pooper here, but I guess, you know, this is what I see for 2017. We really need to make an effort at, you know, it's not enough for the mainstream media, which became irrelevant, to then become relevant again as liars and cover-uppers of the truth. We need them to keep going out of business, not come back under the Trump administration. We need the media to keep going the way of the dinosaur, not come back, as they're trying to do now with this new legislation that Obama passed, which he signed into law, the Anti-Propaganda Act, which is designed to shut you down, shut me down, which is designed that when they say a Pizzagate is squelched, there'll be no talk and no investigation, and it's worldwide. James Comey is not a good example for your children. The FBI is not a good example for your children. The U.S. military is not a good example for your children. The politicians are not a good example for your children. Your pastors are not a good example for your children. So what are the children supposed to do? If they assimilate, then they will become evil. They will become corrupt. And they will make a living from lying, deceit, and corruption. Well, they'll have plenty of friends, obviously. They'll have plenty of company. They won't be lonely. But these are the things that I, you know, that are bothering me at the end of the year. I suppose, you know, I'm very, very happy about economic progress, and I like the fact that people feel optimistic, obviously. Trump. There's been, you know, and I hope there is a spiritual change in the country. If we can, you know, there's a couple things we can do. If one, we can bring God back into the schools and moral teaching via the Bible, that would be, you know, tremendous. You know, just basically, like, if you want to be an example to children and everything, you know, you want to live an honest, upright life. And then there's an example for kids. You know what I mean? It's just got to be, or do a correct teaching. If you're teaching philosophy and spiritual issues and Bible issues and laws and, you know, and justice and things, getting kids to think about those things is a really good thing to do. The reason I think in pop music and hip hop it's so stupid that the lyrics are so inane and pedantic and vapid and infantile at times is because primarily the use of entertainment by the military-industrial complex to dumb down the culture. Like I saw Britney Spears dancing and singing. Well, she sings well. She dances well. The point is that the content of what's being sung about and what's being portrayed is it's atrophying to people because it doesn't cause them to think about anything. In other words, art should challenge people. In other words, it should make the comfortable uncomfortable, as they say, and the uncomfortable give hope to, you know, in our society. It should be something that goes up against the status quo, like what I'm doing right here. I'm going up against the status quo of everyone being optimistic. Okay. It should go up against the status quo and challenge us to be better people, or challenge our reality, or something to that effect. That's what music, arts, movies, poetry, literature, all of that should be doing those things. And the children that are, you know, being taught and educated in school should have a hunger for the truth that's put there by good teachers, and do a lot of this digging on their own, because that would save a lot of them, frankly. You know, by having an appetite for the truth, an appetite for what's right. Now, I have to wrap this up here, but, you know, I'm here every day. I've been here every day. And I have been, you know, I am optimistic because I see some good things coming around. But I just want to caution us to stay repentant, that's all. To stay, you know, again, you saw the news media actually, I mean, this is what happened. Because of Pizzagate, we got the Anti-Propaganda Act. Did you see that? And because of Pizzagate, we got the promotion of MSM back into the Limelight Act. Because of Pizzagate, we got complete total destruction of most bloggers on Google, Facebook, and Twitter all at once. All because of one release of one tranche of Podesta emails. All because of that, the global movement, unprecedented in human history, especially in the history of the United States, unprecedented attack on the freedom of speech, all because of Pizzagate, and that yet there's nothing there. We've all been guilty of letting that thing go and not demanding an investigation. All I've ever asked for is an investigation. I've said there's enough here to warrant an investigation. Is that right, Trish?
Absolutely. I think under a Trump administration, we will have an investigation. I really do.
I mean, James Comey going out there and saying, hey, we got 80 kids released, and this is after 5 years of effort or something. That is so insulting that I can't believe they would even that he would even say something. He must think people are so stupid they're going to accept that as progress in law enforcement. That's like saying we got a 4 tons of cocaine, or we got 40 keys of coke coming into Miami, and so we've really done a great job at arresting the problem or heroin. And heroin's the big thing now. Arresting, you know, we really made progress in stopping the drug trafficking, because we got, you know, 30 keys of heroin or something, and we caught them. It was a big bust. We all had all law enforcement's taking a bow when tons of this crap is coming in here and killing people. In fact, we just had George Michael, another airhead pop star, but I mean, you know, airhead music, but in terms of as a human being addicted to heroin, and he was going right out party every night, apparently. Died at 53 of an overdose of heroin, which then they tried to cover up and say, no, he had heart failure. Duh. When you have an overdose of heroin, your heart stops. Hello? Do people actually reason any of this stuff? Or it's hard for me to take anymore. Yes, it was not heroin overdose, it was heart failure. No, it's a heroin overdose that causes heart failure. That's the common reason people die of heroin, because they have a cardiac arrest. Is there any common sense left anywhere, please? Because, you know, they parsed it like that because they believe that people are so stupid they can't reason that thing together. You know, and but whenever someone writes lyrics like, you know, wake me up before you go-go about their one-night stand with a lover, and it's all bubblegummy, I absolutely...
He also had some faith-based music.
I know he did. I understand. I'm just saying the big hits were just like all of them. They put the bunny into pop music. This was a social engineering thing. You know, it went from rock and roll to pop and hip hop. And then pop and hip hop over the years, you would agree with me, has gone down the tubes in terms of, you know, giving people meaning. And, you know, it's almost like anti-meaning, you know. Not every song, but I'm just saying the general flow of it is.
I didn't really follow his music.
Look, when I listen to pop music, here's what it evokes. It evokes taking drugs, going to discos, getting all involved in the whole thing, you know, having lots of sex. You know, looking at myself in the mirror a lot. I mean, that's where it goes. You know, can it, right? Social media, having the right designer clothes, right? Having the right look, having the right car. I mean, you know, right? Having the right materialism, worshiping material things. Rock did that for a while too. Sex, drugs, rock and roll is all narcissistic. You know, admittedly, there's a lot of Airhead songs there too. You know, that's what happens. There may be a serious artist who writes about stuff, you know, and but it's always the silly songs. I can't complain about the entertainment industry. It's a symptom, you know, successfully. I can't argue that much against it successfully because it's a symptom of a greater problem.
Well, they're kind of a lot in the driver's seat of...
Movie, well, just take movies. There used to be like a sort of a moral code to movies, you know, where the good guy, you know, he may be flawed, but then he repents and he gets up to the challenge of putting down the bad guy. I mean, I love movies like that, you know, or movies where there's a guy overcoming his own problems and being a better person, you know, inspiring, you know, there should be something. Movies have become a bit blurred, you know, not all movies, but like a lot of them don't have a clear... moral, what is this? Are they here?
8 minutes.
I hear something there. Are they here?
Don't see them, but any minute now.
Anyway, I am enjoying nature. I'm enjoying, smiling at people. I am enjoying, you know, the optimism and hope for a new year. I'm just trying to not forget all the atrocities of 2016. Here we go, Trish. Okay. And with that, I must be gone. Yes, I must go. I must go. I must go.
And
blessings, one and all, in the name of Yeshua.
With all the stuff that's hit the fan, here I stand, a forbidden man. The hate toward me, I can't keep pace. They're no longer the human race. All the trials set to terrify me, but they never lift their eyes to see that I'm a man from beyond the stars. You only wish you could see so far. The power that I hold in just one hand is more than your minions ever planned. Torture and death, imminent attack. You'll have to do way better than that. I die once, but you die twice. In the face of all justice, you'll bend the knee and barely suffice. Power beyond word or knowledge, but I think it's cute that you went to college. I wait on his will where I hear him say, move, then mountains dive out of the way.
Your day is coming, like an oncoming train. As you sit on the tracks unwilling to explain, while you remain awkward and lost, an empty-headed fool not counting the cost, keep saying, you know, until your last breath and walk into eternity, blind, dumb, and deaf. The ones you mocked, laughed, and smirked will see you again when they rule the earth. We'll be right back.
On the other hand, you got your work cut out. One day, very soon, when Jesus shouts, you'll no longer have what you yearn, or be the one to earn more than most earn. That player who made friends. Learn to smile, you'll be busy on your own last mile. All the way to the throne of God, the creator of all, the reason for breath, a thought, a look, or beating heart. He'll open the books, then you will start to explain the allegiances of your heart. Tell him about your love for the dark, and though he called you, did not hark. Tell him that you can find your own way, that you know the score. Just pipe up, let him know you don't need him anymore. Do it. If you think that's the way to have any sway, but on that day, go ahead, be afraid, be very, very afraid. Be very, very afraid.
Be very afraid. I still have a little time here. I still have a few minutes, so. You know, and then there was this one, which was kind of a gem, Purple Fail.
It may seem a bit...
Come on. I mean, that you talk about getting banned. The Witch Queen got banned. Well, what about this one? Shouldn't this be banned too, Trish?
It may seem out of control.
Wait, we get to the proper lyric here. Gotta wait till
it
we get...
Seem.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of insulting.
Well, I'm not creative anymore. I've lost it.
I don't want control. You're guilty of the crime of the century.
Here we go. Being very disrespectful now.
The throw.
Your destiny.
Your destiny.
You want me to believe.
Here we go.
You didn't know.
Oh, this is damning evidence here. This is horrible. Bah. Yeah. Now we should come into that lyric that should be banned.
So you go to war on everyone who sees. So will you play the night away?
Still live.
Domino's on pizza.
Oh, that's it. You're banned.
The color purple does not wash away.
Oh, you must be talking about Hillary Clinton and Soros
all
and the purple
blood beam. You spill.
Oh, there you go. Clinton with body count. That's it. You're out. Get out in the fringe where you'll never be heard from again. Right there, I would ban that. That has to be banned. There's no truth. No one's ever proved that. That's all just partisanship and politics. And so no, I mean, you know, that's basically, you know, play that for your friends. Would they like this? I actually like it as a piece. I took the snare drum and I put a low pass filter on it to cut the crack of the snare out so it could be more of a thud. that was a creative decision to do that on purpose. So it would just be, so it wouldn't be so prominent and, you know, it goes against the grain of normalcy. But, you know, that's a technique that you do just because in that track, it was really kind of like, I really didn't want that to crack through. I want it all to be more, you know what I mean? So it's that it's just like a creative decision you make. You know, not every snare should have the 2K frequency pushed up so it leaves a nice crack like a real snare. I wanted to thud it down, and I did, and I'm happy I did. But there's all kinds of things like that that defy reality, you know, when you're mixing, where, you know, something is just not, like with this one, I decided to go really big with it.
I'm no longer fooling around here. It's gonna be scary.
So those drums are really kind of like if you were at a concert, very live and very, very compressed and kind of irritating. And
it's gonna be different.
Whatever. Anyway, that was a decision to go more raw and more live sounding and more like, you know, like a real dynamic. If you played that in a live venue, let's say, and put it through 10,000 watts of stereo or whatever, it would create this sort of live vibe kind of thing. And but it was just like trying to make it, you know, not irritating, but, you know, just kind of raw and nasty and not very well produced, but to make it not be produced and, you know, to make it sound like it's not really produced, but live, it actually takes a lot of work to get it to sound like that, to sound more unprofessional. Actually takes work. It's easier to make it sound more polished. But you see, I didn't want that because I didn't feel like that. I felt, you know, and this is the whole art thing, you know, being true to yourself as an artist. I just felt really,
didn't you want to eat anything?
I don't feel frustrated exactly, you know, and you know, don't forgive me. I got a few more minutes here, so I'm going to share it with you. I don't feel, well, a lot of people left. You see, I faked them out. They left because they thought I was leaving. But you see, you have to stick around. Sometimes we show up after a couple of songs and just kind of like, you know, hey, you still out there? But I do feel optimistic about this. You know, I love the Lord God, the Creator. And I want to get more in the stream. Like, for me, personal goal, being a better person, could be done, I think, by getting a closer walk with the Lord. You know what I mean? And just really living out that, if it's whatever the calling is on my life, you know, to be more true to that calling. And, you know, but even Jeremiah and some of the prophets that I admire of the past, Ezekiel, you know, Isaiah, all of them really, you know, the lament that I say Jeremiah because of the lamentations of Jeremiah. But just the lamenting, you know, the same lament that Yeshua had in looking out at the at Israel, you know, at Jerusalem, that, you know, Jerusalem, if I could take you with me, but you won't go. You won't go. You prefer to remain in your pizza gate.
I'm thinking.
Any thoughts on this?
No, I was thinking something else.
Human trafficking.
I just think that we have to keep praying and
child torture and sacrifice,
and keep exposing and keep pressing forward investigation.
Right, and then when the investigation unearths, you know, Republicans and Democrats and all kinds of people that had good reputations, and even Trump had been seen with Jeffrey Epstein at Mar-a-Lago. Doesn't mean anything happened, but I mean, there is that. Trump was not exactly stepping up and saying, this Epstein guy is really bad.
Yet.
Look, the way I would handle it is mafia style. You know what I'm saying? But that's why I'm not in politics, because see, I'm advocating corruption to take care of corruption. So right there, I'm a bad guy, and I'm not saying that I'm incapable of criminality. I mean, obviously, what I just said is criminality. The idea that you, I've just had it with the court system. I'm just saying that the court system is not appropriate for these people. Don't deserve the court system. So you know what I mean? I'd be very happy if it's handled quietly with the cement shoes treatment, you know, and people just disappear. And, you know, the other thing I want to see is, I just keep thinking about the homeless situation in San Diego. Now, I know all along the West Coast, because of the weather, you've got this. When we stayed in Ventura, the whole downtown of Ventura had turned into like kind of a homeless shelter. And I just think there needs to be, you know, we need to accept as a society that the homeless are with us indefinitely, and to try to do something about it. That doesn't mean create a thing for freeloaders, but create some kind of shelter that doesn't have a cost of you have to sign up here, you have to try to be rehabilitated. You know what I mean? It doesn't come with that kind of onus, because, see, that's the thing that keeps them away from any kind of help that they might need, is because they feel they're going to have to be registered and counted. You see what I mean? Do you see the problem? I've talked to a lot of the ones that they come in for the meal, then they disappear back out into the, you know, into the overhang or whatever it is. It's because they don't want to sign up. They don't want the church to rehabilitate them. They don't want the state to rehabilitate them. They don't want to be rehabilitated. They are the way they are. They're homeless. And they're probably going to remain the way they are, and they may not be able to make a contribution to society. And there has to be a mechanism in place to figure that out, and to let them be. You know, certainly not hunt them down and try to, you know, like some cities actually try to move them, and you know, to go, they're a blight on the downtown. We got to move them because tourism and everything else is going down. You know, yeah, I think God's put them here to just be a thorn in our side, to remind us that we've got work to do. You know what I mean? That you know, and homelessness, we may not be able to understand except through the lens of spirit. And I'm going to be giving, you know, thought about all this, and trying to think of solutions. And so that's, you know, there's another positive area we could make some kind of impact in terms of, you know, we're dealing with human trafficking, and look at the progress we've made with progress. It's all the stuff that's come out in the open now is horrifying. But with Govinda, Human 2020, where we started, none of this stuff was being discussed, and where it wound up was just phantasmagorical. I mean, it was unbelievable where we wound up. So what we got to do is keep praying for the solution for the end of human trafficking, especially now with an emphasis, and I believe that's where the direction of our show has gone, with an emphasis on child trafficking, for because it's all for nefarious purpose, for sex trafficking, and you know, but we say pedophilia, but we don't say ritual abuse and torture and murder. We don't connect those two, do we? And whoever has an appetite for that should not be if they are the Pope or the President or the Prime Minister or whatever, they shouldn't be there, right? They should be taken care of quietly, without a political process involved, where people don't have a chance to vote on anything. It should just be taken care of. You know, we need, you know, Denzel Washington as the great equalizer. You know, that's what we need. You know, right? He was the ex-CIA spook. I watched that movie. I was so hungry for a movie. And I'd recommend it 1,000%. It's called The Equalizer, Denzel Washington. And it is a great, that kind of movie used to be an average, you know, like a TV movie. Now it's a big, you know, feature film. But I would just say, if I were going to make a movie today, I'd make a movie just like that. The Equalizer. I watched it 5 times in a row. Because, not in a row, but I mean 5 times over the course of the last few years it's been out. Why? It's because I'm so starved for something real, you know? Here's a guy defending prostitutes getting beat up by the Russian mafia, and she's like their property or whatnot, and he's trying to help her, and they beat the crap out of her, and he sees her in the hospital, and then he decides, And he's a guy that works at Home Depot, you know, and he's like, people like him, and he's kind of, you know, kind of the wise guy down there, the old guy, you know, at the Home Depot. And people kind of like him, and I like that character. I like that aspect of his character. And he's very helpful to other people, like helping this kid lose weight. And, you know, just it's just a great guy. And but he's got a past, and you know what it is. He's got no wife. He's got no children. And you wonder, wow, you know, what happened to this guy? He reads a book every day at a diner. And he's reading books. He's trying to read all the books. His wife, his dead wife, he's a widower. His deceased wife had read the 100 great books, and he wanted to read all the books she read because he loved her and so forth. Great, great. That was a great. Whoever came up with that, it was great with the script. And I guess the writer, the writer would have come up with that. Great little device in the screenplay. And then you know he decided to defend this girl. And he wanted to buy her freedom, and he walks right into where the most badass Russian mafia dudes are hanging out, and he walks right in there, and, you know, there's no way that's going to go down without a fight. And you don't know this guy yet. You don't know what he's capable of. You don't realize that he is an ex-super killer, that he's like Matt Damon on steroids or something, and he's like, you know, the ultimate weapon, okay? You don't realize that. And then finally you do, and then a war is started, you know, between the Russian mafia, and then you find out the police are corrupt, the police are in bed with the mafia, with the Russians, and it's just, especially in light of today, talking about Russian corruption, it's fantastic. And he basically chooses all these people off, and he has the capability to take them all out, and he takes them all out, he takes a bunch of them out. And then you find out he was ex-CIA, and he was a trained special operations. I mean, he was and this is a special operations guy that has a moral compass, which I'm not sure they go together, but in this movie they do. And he wants permission from his ex-CIA handler. These people that are involved in Washington, they live in Maryland and or near D.C. and politics and spooks and whatever, you know. And he goes to his ex-handler, this gal that he asked for permission to take him out, and she gives him a kind of a sideways nod. And he goes after the entire wing of the mafia, of that entire thing. He goes after him and goes up against impossible odds. And, of course, he prevails because he's a very technical. He's trained by us. We're the best at training killers. So he's unbelievable. And he gets the bad guys. The girl gets out of prostitution. She's pursuing her. She's a singer. And she's got a job now.
Now that you spoiled the whole movie for them, darling.
I'm telling them the whole movie because I know the end of the movie, and yet I keep watching it. So they can watch it. You'll be delighted, even though I've told you the storyline. Okay, so tell me right now, that storyline that I just gave you, doesn't that sound good? You know? And the girl is played by Chloe Moretz, who you've probably seen as an actress out there. She caught my attention when she was in the remake of Carrie. She did an incredible job in a brutal film, a brutal story. And you know, Stephen King is totally on the left and all that. And I anti-Trump and all this stuff. But I don't, you know, with a guy like that, I don't see him wanting people to be. Look, I just see a lot of what's going on. Not everybody wants people to be poor. I don't think he does. You know, it's what I've seen into the heart of this. And I've seen into the heart of some of these people. And I see that they have developed a kind of need to do the other guy in order to boost themselves. And that comes from a certain kind of conformianity, if you like, if you know what I'm talking about. And it's a certain taste. You know, I wouldn't call it Machiavellian exactly, but it's if we have too many people like that in our society, let's just put it this way, we don't have a society anymore. So, things to think about. I'm going to actually go now, and I do it reluctantly. I hate to leave you. I wish I could just leave you feeling really good, like be a feel-good guy, a doctor feel-good. That's what I want to be. I don't want to have to... you know, I want to be Dr. Feelgood. I want to feel good about everything. Here's a song that was done on talking about Dr. Open a Vein, 6616. Wow.
Jeff?
Yes.
I'm going to take the dogs away before the detail guy comes back.
Okay. Okay, so she's going to take that away. Yeah, we have to, when you get the, when you have a RV of any type, you have to, in California, you're not allowed to wash it or anything, and it gets wrecked over the desert. You can't wash it or do anything because they have rules on the water here. The water can't touch the ground. It's hard to explain. It's tough. Anyway, we'll see you next time. God bless you, each and everyone. Thank you.